for me, I always tell people that I can't believe the Army actually pays me to do this. Every morning when I cross the Memorial Bridge, I see Arlington and I see the eternal flame coming into the distance, usually on the early mornings when I go in, when it's still dark. You can see John F. Kennedy's eternal flame flickering in the distance. And then I pass through the gates and I really feel like I'm surrounded by friends. I interviewed over 300 veterans in my career, and many of them are buried at Arlington. So, I'm surrounded by them, and I'm surrounded by history.
My name is Joe Ferris, and I want to personally welcome you to the Foxhole. Today we have a great interview with a man who's super connected to the Arlington National Cemetery, a man who's given his life to studying the history of men and women who have served our country and given the ultimate sacrifice. I think you're going to be blessed not only to hear about Father Capon, but just to maybe have a renewed look at a national treasure in our country. So I just ask you to pay attention, enjoy the conversation. It's a holy conversation, and be encouraged. And maybe the next time you're in D.C., you make an extra visit to see a place where a lot of stories are, a lot of powerful stories live. And maybe it'll give you the opportunity as well to go out to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and pray there as well. So be encouraged, be excited, be inspired. You're going to enjoy Tim. He's a good man, and I enjoyed the holy conversation with him. So let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, I invite you into this conversation. I invite you, Lord, into the hearts and the minds of anyone who's downloaded the podcast today. I pray for all those who serve our country, have served our country, and have given the ultimate sacrifice, which is their life in service of our country. I pray, God, through the intercession of Father Capon, that we are blessed as we celebrate coming home. I pray through the intercession of Father Capon that we can see ordinary moments and make them extraordinary by the way we serve our families, our friends, our communities, our businesses, and our parishes. And I pray through the intercession of Father Capon that we can see the many stories that exist around us, and perhaps during this time of crazy busyness that we live in, that we can emerge as folks who slow down and pay attention to each moment in our lives. I ask all these things to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of my Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tim, welcome to the Foxhole, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
It is absolutely delightful to have you here, and I'm going to jump right in and ask you, because we got a lot to talk about today, to tell me a little bit about what you do at Arlington Cemetery, but even before that, break open for our audience what Arlington Cemetery represents and really what it means to folks in our country and really around the world.
Well, first of all, Arlington really represents a service and sacrifice of American service members from the American Revolution through today. Although we started in the Civil War, we actually do have veterans of the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812 and other earlier conflicts that were brought to Arlington. As for my own job, I'm a historian at Arlington National Cemetery, and for me, I always tell people that I can't believe the Army actually pays me to do this. Every morning when I cross the Memorial Bridge, I see Arlington and I see the eternal flame coming into the distance, usually on the early mornings when I go in, when it's still dark. You can see John F. Kennedy's eternal flame flickering in the distance. And then I pass through the gates and I really feel like I'm surrounded by friends. I interviewed over 300 veterans in my career, and many of them are buried at Arlington. So, I'm surrounded by them, and I'm surrounded by history.
So tell us a little bit, Tim, for those that don't understand fully the cemetery. You mentioned the story to me before we started, just about what it means when folks visit that have no history of it. So talk to me about the person's entrance into the cemetery, and as a historian, kind of what that means.
Well, I mean, as we were talking earlier, part of my job as a historian is to give historical briefings to the public and to visiting dignitaries. And there's a story that I always tell new employees and others when I give a tour to kind of emphasize what Arlington means. There's one time where a dignitary from the Middle East came in to view the changing of the guard, see the unknown soldier, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And the army colonels that were escorting him asked me if we could take him to Section 60, where there's a lot of Iraq and Afghanistan casualties. So we drove down, and I took him to Captain Humayun Khan's grave. He has a Muslim emblem of belief on the top of his headstone, and the general was Muslim, of the Muslim faith. And we stood there, and I told him the story of Captain Khan and the sacrifices that he made. And the general kind of scanned out over Section 60, and he turned to the interpreter. The interpreter turned to me and said, what's that emblem over there? Or what's that symbol? I said, well, sir, that's a Buddhist emblem of belief. He said, what's that one? I said, that's Latter-day Saints. What's that one? Well, that's the Methodist Church. There was a Star of David maybe 10, 15 feet away. And the general stood there for over a minute and turned to the interpreter, who then said to me, he's very moved right now as he looks out over all of these service members and they fought for one common cause of freedom and democracy. That's kind of the diplomatic part of my job. I would like to think that he went back and explained what he saw. He was certainly moved by it. It was about a 3-hour tour of the cemetery. And at one point, we were at the mass of the USS Maine, where sailors and Marines were recovered, over 200 of them, from the USS Maine that had exploded in Havana Harbor in 1898. I explained how the United States built a cofferdam around the ship. Years later, drained the water, recovered the remaining sailors and Marines that were in the ship. And he was also moved by that story, that the great lengths the United States will go to return service members. And when you kind of extend that to Father Capon, we see how Father Capon was identified and is returning home.
So I've been certainly at Arlington National Cemetery and brought students there as well. And it's an overwhelming place when you enter it, because it's like you said, it's seeing so many different people who've given so much for freedom and democracy. There's one particular spot that everyone goes to that probably enters the property for sure, and that's the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And I know this is the 100th anniversary of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. So talk to us a little bit about that, and maybe why and how it's so important for our nation to recognize those that have fallen, and in particular the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Well, if you go back to World War I, there are many unknowns, and there's really no place for families to grieve. So kind of the short story to that is that in November of 1920, the British and the French interred their unknown soldiers to represent the over 100,000 that each had. It was a place that the families could go and think, this could be my loved one or my comrade. So they'd go to Westminster Abbey for the unknown warrior, or the Arc de Triomphe for the unknown soldier for France. The American people read about the grand ceremonies in London and in Paris and began petitioning the War Department and Congress that we honor one unknown American to represent those who didn't return. So in October of 1921, four teams went out to four cemeteries in France, disinterred one unknown at each of those four. They then brought the four to the City Hall in Chalon-sur-Marne, France, for a final selection. One soldier was selected from those four, returned to the United States, and they held the funeral on November 11th, 1921. He was then joined by World War II and Korean War unknowns in 1958, and then a Vietnam unknown in 1984, who was later identified as First Lieutenant Michael Blassi of the Air Force. Now, getting to the 100th anniversary, on this November, we're going to have a Naval History Symposium. There'll be a historic plaque dedication, a 21-gun salute ceremony at the Washington Navy Yard, where the USS Olympia docked. The USS Olympia brought the unknown home. November 9th and 10th, there's going to be a public flower-laying ceremony at the tomb to remind us of the unknown laying in state in the U.S. Capitol, where over 90,000 people paid their respects. This is one thing I tell people, that I've worked at Arlington since 2015, and I've only been out to the tomb twice, like walking beyond the chains that the area where the tomb guards guard. So this is an event where the public will, for the first time in decades, be able to walk up to the tomb and lay a flower. There's also going to be a joint full honors procession, a recreation of the funeral procession that took place on November 11th, 1921. a joint full honors flyover, and an armed forces full honors wreath ceremony, all on November 11th. So I tell people stay tuned to our website to see more about what's happening in the centennial year. But this is a big year for Arlington. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is really the heart of Arlington, and it's where many of our 4 million plus visitors a year come to visit and pay their respects.
So with that said, about a little more than a month before that beautiful celebration you just described, you're going to make the trip, Tim, to Kansas, to Wichita, Kansas,
yes,
to be part of something that those listening are very familiar with at this point in the podcast history. But I'd love for you to tell us a little about why you're making the trek to Kansas, what Father Capon, maybe with your understanding of all of this, the finding of his body and the bringing home, the homecoming for Father Capon. Talk a little bit about that for our audience as well.
So two things. I went to Kansas State for graduate school to study history, so it'll be nice to get back to Kansas. But one of our former Army chaplains at Arlington is my daughter's godfather, and he and I were talking one day about Father Capon, and he and I chatted a lot about Father Capon, and then more recently he called me to say that they had identified him and that there was going to be this funeral. So I asked him if there's any possible way I can go to the funeral. And my friends in Kansas, Colonel Roger Donlin and his wife Norma, who are both Catholics, he's a Medal of Honor recipient, they live in Leavenworth, Kansas. I always say they were my Kansas parents because I'd spent Easters at their house and Thanksgiving and other holidays at their house when I was away from home. I'm from Maryland, and so being so far away from home, they were my home away from home. So I was talking to Colonel Donlin and Norma, and they said, well, you know, we'd love to go to the funeral. So he's going to go and be a Medal of Honor recipient representative, and I'm going to go with them and attend. For me, it's just a big event because I am a Catholic, familiar with Father Capon's story and the story of so many other chaplains who served with heroism in our nation's history. So it'll be really it's an event that I'm looking forward to.
So you've gotten to know a lot of chaplains through history, I would presume, through your time in Arlington and the time of your studies, and you have a healthy respect for them. Could you tell us a little bit, because I think sometimes when I talk about Father Capon, people don't always understand the role of the Army chaplain and in the whole. Would you mind just taking a second describing from your perspective the value that clearly they bring to these guys that are given, you know, their lives in a lot of instances, and certainly in conflicts all around the world. Do you mind doing that for a second for us?
Sure. I mean, the one thing that I emphasize to people when I talk about our chaplains is that we have up to 30 funerals a day at Arlington. And if a family requests a chaplain, we have chaplains of all denominations and all branches of service that are there for those families in their time of need. I've also interviewed a few chaplains in my career as a civilian Navy historian, and also now as an Army historian. And I'm always moved by the chaplains because no matter what the denomination are, you can see that really that fire in their heart to serve. And, you know, it's just, I mean, it's just, you know, what they do day in and day out to serve our service members and their families is just incredibly impressive. So I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean,
I don't think you need a lot more than that, right? And we're talking about ordinary guys like Father Capon who just got in the world and got in the battle and stayed firm and steadfast with their men. So tell me, Medal of Honor, you're going to visit a Medal of Honor recipient, you're going to take a Medal of Honor recipient or be with them at the funeral. That's the second part of this. Is it's a big deal that Father Capon received the Medal of Honor. Can you tell us a little bit about why that's important from purely secular standpoint or even religious as well? What's behind all that, and why would that be a big deal for a chaplain to receive that?
Well, if you think about our nation's military history, if you think about the millions of men and women who've served in uniform, whether in combat or in peacetime, only 3,527 Medals of Honor have been awarded since its inception in the Civil War. Of those, 3,508 are recipients. So 19 people received the medal twice. But of those 3,508, You look at five U.S. Army chaplains who've earned the Medal of Honor. To put it also, you have, if you look at the Korean War, there were 146 chaplains. I'm sorry, there were, if you look at the Korean War, there were 146 medals of honor earned during that conflict and since, you know, that have been upgraded. If you look at the current war, if you look at the current day, and you look at the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, only 18 service members have been awarded the Medal of Honor for service in Afghanistan and seven in for service in Iraq. So it is a major deal. And then when you look at Father Capon, his Distinguished Service Cross was upgraded, and that doesn't happen very often. There has to be new and substantial evidence to really start the process. I have not looked at the award case file, but if it's similar to other upgrades, that is what has to be done. They have to have new and compelling, new and substantive evidence to upgrade. So it's a very big deal that he was upgraded to the Medal of Honor, and it really an even bigger deal. An equally big deal that he was identified and returned.
So with that, as we're talking about Medal of Honor recipients, you probably know of a bunch of them that we don't know. So who is, like, are there other Catholics that receive the Medal of Honor that you know of, that the stories, maybe their bodies are at Arlington, that you can share with us so that maybe if someone visits, they can know the company that Father Capon is with?
Well, there's, for one, there's Father Charles Waters. He rests on Chaplain's Hill. He was one of the five Army chaplains, Catholic chaplains, to earn the Medal of Honor. And he went into the Army in July of 1966, went to Vietnam and served for a year. And then he extended his tour for 6 months. At the Battle of Dak Tho in November of 67, he and his unit came under enemy fire, the 173rd Airborne Brigade. And throughout the battle, he ran out and provided aid and comfort to the dying and the wounded. And recovered soldiers. He delivered last rites, but he delivered, you know, aid and comfort to those of all denominations. And he was eventually killed, earned the Medal of Honor, and he's buried close to my office. There's another Catholic, Tom Hudner. Captain Tom Hudner was a U.S. Navy, a Naval Academy graduate. He became a naval aviator in Korea on December 4th, 1950. He was flying over the Chosin Reservoir when his wingman, Jesse Brown, an African-American naval aviator, was shot down. Hudner and the other aviator circled the site, and when he learned that the helicopter wouldn't be there for a while and that Jesse Brown wasn't getting out of his aircraft, Hudner left the formation and crash-landed his aircraft on a Korean mountainside. I interviewed him, and he told me that he went over to Brown and found that the way the fuselage buckled, Brown was trapped in the aircraft. So he tried to get him out with an axe that was fairly useless. He tried to extinguish the flames with his fire extinguisher and ended up packing snow around them to put out the flames. When the rescue helicopter came, they could not get Jesse Brown out of the helicopter. And it was getting near nightfall, and the helicopter couldn't fly at night, so they had to leave the area. Brown perished on that Korean mountain. Hudner was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions above and beyond the call of duty. And he was a friend of mine, and I attended his funeral. He's buried right near our Welcome Center at Arlington, in the section near one of the sections nearest to our Welcome Center. And then finally, a story that's kind of close to me is I went to St. John's College High School in Washington, D.C. It is a Catholic school run by the Christian Brothers. And all of us learn about First Lieutenant Robert McGovern and Second Lieutenant Jerome McGovern. They were brothers who attended the high school. They both joined the Army after graduating. And Robert was killed January 30th, 1951, while leading his men, while he was attacking a machine gun nest. He was shot once and continued fighting. His carbine was knocked out of his hand, and he kept fighting with his 45 caliber pistol and throwing hand grenades. As his last hand grenade exploded, he was hit in the chest by enemy machine gun fire and killed. And then his brother, Jerome, was killed on February 10th, 1951, also attacking a machine gun nest. Robert earned the Medal of Honor, Jerome earned the Silver Star. But the what's in it, what's the really sad part of the story is, I mean, the entire story is sad that these two brothers were killed, but their father refused the medals. Was very grief stricken, and he also had views on the war and President Truman, and he just didn't want to accept the medal, or he refused to accept it. So he refused to accept it. And when I was in high school, the school asked the family, who then asked the Army, to provide the medals to the school. The Army issued them, and they are on display at the school now, St. John's College High School. Every year I host the JROTC cadets, and they lay a wreath at the McGovern brothers' grave. They're both buried side by side under one headstone.
Man, that's beautiful. I mean, it's got to be challenging for the work you do on a daily basis. Last things before we close up, I'd love, there may be something we didn't say about Father Capon, why his story is so compelling. I mean, I can tell you, Tim, I travel a lot, and I never go into an audience that isn't captivated by this story. I mean, not just in the Catholic world, but just in the business world or other places to see and Arlington Cemetery is full of those stories. I mean, I don't think Father Capon's is unique in the gift of himself, but why is it that you would guess this has become so important at this time, and why are people so attracted to it, do you think? I mean, it's your personal opinion, but I'd love to hear it because you're a pretty educated historian. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
I mean, I think it goes beyond Father Capon. I mean, we, you know, throughout the year, our teams, the DPAA, is identifying service members, and many of those come to Arlington. Many, like Father Capon, are returned to his family. And, you know, when you go, like, throughout the cemetery, we have group burial markers that are, that have the names of those who were recovered. You know, say a helicopter went down or a bomber went down overseas, the crew is brought back and buried together under that group burial mark. And we see those throughout Arlington. If you go beyond those group burial markers and you look, we have over 400,000 people at Arlington. 250,000 of those are the service members, and the remaining ones are their eligible next of kin. You know, one thing I tell everyone on my tour is that every single person in Arlington National Cemetery, and even throughout our nation, it really, but at Arlington National Cemetery, when I take people around, I say every single person here is notable to someone. You know, those 400,000 people, many of them might not be household names, but they were notable to someone. Their family, their comrades, their stories may never be told, but when you walk through Arlington National Cemetery, you see that visible evidence of row upon row of notable stories, notables. And in my view, they're all notable.
I think that's a beautiful place for us to close. And I'll just say to you, Tim, thank you for taking the time out to jump on the podcast, especially in particular this series on welcoming Father Capon home. And I will let you know that we're praying for you guys. We're praying for the work you're doing in the United States and the goodness that you do in bringing folks home and giving them a dignified burial. So thank you. Thank you. And be assured of the prayers of Capon's men.
Thank you.
Tim, thank you so much for joining us today to share about the sacredness and respect that our nation has historically had for the remains of the men and women who have given their lives in service to our country. It really helps us shed another light on the importance and impact of Father Capon's homecoming. The challenge this week is to take a moment to pray for the dead, especially those who have died in service to our country. Also, pray for those who have not yet been identified and able to come home, that their families and loved ones may find some peace and comfort. This is something that Father Capon did in his lifetime, and probably still has a big heart about from heaven as well. That's all we have for this week. You can learn more about Father Capon's homecoming at caponcomeshome.com, and we look forward to hosting Father Amel's nephew, Ray Capon, next week here in the Foxhole for final preparations for his coming home. Until then, stay humble and stay courageous.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.